you agree with that statistic that 1 in 5 Americans have difficulty, they can't afford to get their prescriptions filled, and so they're making these choices about whether or not to fill all of them?
Carol, I think it's higher. I really do. I see it almost every day in my practice. I have people come to me and say, Dr. Graves, I cannot afford my medication.
It's a movement, but it's about people. Be the People is about we the people joining forces to reclaim and reshape the best of our nation's time-treasured traditions. Each week, we offer insightful interviews with movers and shakers from all different spheres of life. And now, please welcome Dr. Carol Swain.
Drug prices. Did you know that America has the highest prescription drug prices in the world? Our drug prices are so high that President Trump has complained that drug companies are getting away with murder. And on this, Bernie Sanders would agree. Bernie has complained that nearly 1 in 5 Americans can't afford to get their prescriptions filled. And the people that are hardest hit, it's not just the poor, it's also the middle and working classes. It's everyday Americans who have to make a decision sometime between filling their prescriptions or paying their rent or their house note. Joining me today is a special friend and a doctor who gets to see all of this firsthand. My guest is Dr. Carla Dean Graves. She's a family practice doctor from Kansas City, Missouri. She's also an advocate for healthcare reform, and she gets to see all of these things up close, but she can give us an historical perspective. So let's welcome Dr. Graves to the Be the People show on the America Out Loud Network.
Thank you. Thank you, Carol. I really appreciate this. Well, I'm an honor to be here with you today.
Well, Carla Dean, you've been working on these issues for a long time. Could you tell our listeners what you've been doing and when you got started as an activist? Because I know that you're seeing patients, you're in D.C. all the time, and, you know, you're juggling so many hats. So why are you so involved, and when did it start for you?
I became involved in this particular issue in regard to drug shortages and high prices about 2 years ago. And I was asked to come to the White House and actually talk with the staff about the healthcare issue that America faces today with the high cost of medical care, as well as the drug shortages that we are having, as well as high drug prices. And so I went to Washington, D.C., and I have been very involved ever since. Also, what I was seeing in my practice, I didn't quite understand it, actually, for a couple of years prior to that. I was seeing drug shortages and higher prices for my patients, and I didn't understand where it was coming from until I did some investigations on my own, as well as coming into contact with other physicians who were also working on this issue nationwide. I found that there was a history that there are called group purchasing organizations. This is where it started, and it started back in the early 1900s when hospitals were having a difficult time making it, and they decided to have a group purchasing organization to lower prices. And at that time, the price was fixed for these group purchasing organizations that they would only charge about 3% above what the cost was of their product, whether it be all the way from a Band-Aid, all the way to needles, and, of course, supplies for hospitals.
Let me interrupt you. So this, this 3% surcharge, when was this in place?
This was in the very early 1900s, around 1918. is when these group purchasing organizations were formed by the hospitals across the nation. And they were only allowed, that is, they, meaning the group purchasing organizations, were only allowed to charge 3% above what the cost of a supply would be.
Well, let me ask you this. Is a group purchasing organization something like a Costco that they would buy things in volume and then pass it on to the hospitals?
Exactly. That is exactly right, Carol. They would buy large quantities of whether it be sheets, pillowcases, IV supplies, whatever it was, and then they would be able to sell these and have the hospitals purchase those at a much lower cost. But they were only to make a profit off of that, and it really wasn't even a profit. It was a 3% charge for administrative purposes only.
When did that change, the 3%?
That changed back in 1987. And in 1987, the group purchasing organizations, those at the time who were part of those organizations, they decided that they would like to have a bigger cut than just the 3%. So they went to Congress, and particularly it was Chuck Schumer who actually introduced this particular bill that I will explain in just a minute.
Wait a minute. You mean the Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer?
Yes, ma'am. It was they decided to go to they, meaning the group purchasing organizations, went to, known, by the way, as GPOs. They went to Chuck Schumer, and Chuck Schumer talked with them, and they actually made what we could call, actually, a backroom deal. And that deal was as follows, that the group purchasing organizations would be able to charge a fee, and they would set that fee for the hospitals in buying in large quantities. And in return to legislators, they would give them money for their coffers for particularly reelection campaigns. And so Chuck Schumer introduced this to Congress. And, of course, then Congress did pass it. However, it did not really become enacted until 1991. Now, later, this was expanded. And it was expanded in 2003 to what we call the pharmaceutical or the pharmacy benefit managers. And, therefore, that of course, brought in not just hospital supplies or medical supplies per se, but it also then enlarged to increase the field to medications, all medications. And they would charge what they felt was acceptable to them.
Let me stop you. The group purchasing organizations, they expanded to include the prescriptions along with everything else they were doing?
Yes. Now, that group purchasing organization, let me go back a little bit. That they supply, like I said, all the way from a Band-Aid to maybe if you're going to have a knee replacement or you're going to have a heart valve. That goes through a group purchasing organization. And so they begin to put a charge on that just for being what we call the middlemen. And they do, now I want your listeners to understand this very keenly. They do not do any research. They do not do anything to advance medical health care in as far as increasing quality. What they do, All they are set up for are to actually provide supplies, or in the GPO's case, like I said, a knee replacement, a prosthesis, or put it on a tier level. I'm sure your listeners are familiar with formularies and tiers. You know, you have a tier 1, 2, 3, 4, and now they even go up to 5. And that's all they do. They are just providing that those products would be available to be on an insurance plan or a tier.
Well, let me ask you this. Why do we have, so if they're doing the tiers and they are monitoring, then why are there shortages? I mean, I thought I heard someone say once that there were shortages with saline IV bags.
That is correct. A saline bag that is sold by the GPOs, group purchasing organizations to hospitals, used to be about $5. Now it's $500 a bag. If your listeners go into a hospital, or any of us go into a hospital for that matter, the price is exorbitant because it's gone from a $5 a bag charge, and it's all it is just salt water. Now we get an excuse that it was the hurricane that actually knocked out the plants down in Puerto Rico for the saline. That is not all the truth. What is actually true is that the company that makes the saline actually went to the group purchasing organizations, and they have bought an exclusive contract, and they are the only ones who make the saline, and they are the only ones allowed in the United States to make that saline.
How could they do that? One, and then I understand that China provides a lot of our drugs as well, and so why would we be allowing Puerto Rico and China to fill our medical supply needs?
Well, as far as the medicines go for the pharmaceutical or the pharmacy benefit managers, what we call the GPMs, they have an exclusive, basically. And what they have done, they have made an arrangement, and they have done this, and it is a legal form of racketeering, or it's a legal way for them to have kickbacks. And what they have done is they take money from the pharmaceutical companies. Let's use insulin as a we will go back to saline. Saline is $5, was $5. Now it's $500. Well, and they have an exclusive on that. Well, they might get it for $5, the GPOs, but they actually sell it to maybe the hospital for $400. So $395 of those dollars on that one bag of saline actually goes to the middleman. Well, companies that would be, say, like a generic company. Say there was another company that did want to make saline. But first of all, we know that they're not allowed to. But let's just, for right now, say that they were allowed to. Well, if the GPO is getting $395 a bag of a kickback, then the generic company would have to also come up to that level, or maybe they would even ask a generic company to come up with $400. So the generic companies now, they cannot afford to actually purchase the middleman's price for selling the bag of saline and making it. Therefore, they have just closed down their factories here in America. And so that business now has been shipped to mainly India and China.
Now, we're going to have to take a break, and when we return, I would like for you to go over those acronyms again, and we're going to pick up where we left off.
The Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Be the People show, and I'm talking with my guest, Dr. Carla Dean Graves, and we're discussing the high cost of health care. And Carla Dean, we threw out some acronyms that people may not remember, GPO, GPM. Could you briefly say what they are and then pick up where you left off?
Absolutely. Thank you. The GPOs, that stands for Group Purchasing Organizations. The second acronym was P, as in Polly, B as in boy, M as in man, and that's PBMs, and that stands for Pharmacy Benefit Managers. And they actually came into being probably in the 40s, when going back to the wartime in the 40s, when there was a freeze on actually salaries. And that is when employers began to actually give insurance benefits to their employees.
Well, let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
You were talking about racketeering, and that's part of the system now. And I know that there are kickbacks. And so do we really need these PBMs and GPOs, or do we just need better regulation of these organizations?
We need to do away with them. That's what we need. completely, 100%. We don't need to regulate anything else. We just need to kick them out.
So if they were gone, what would the healthcare delivery system look like?
Well, immediately, all of your drug cost, we know, would drop by 30%, at least 30%. And let me go back to what I was talking about earlier, which was the insulin price. Because many, many people now in our country, as you know, have either a relative or they themselves are suffering from diabetes.
Especially black folks.
Oh, my goodness. The black and Indian. The Somalian populace. Those populations have a very high incidence of both diabetes and hypertension. Now, let me try to catch this real quickly. The insulin, if you were to buy it without the pharmaceutical benefit managers, then your insulin, if you were a diabetic, would cost you between $40 to $100. Now, you have to remember, most diabetics are on multiple medications. And they are also on hypertensive medications. And many of those medications, if you'll notice, some of your listeners probably have had this happen. They have been recently found to be contaminated with cancer.
No.
Oh, yes, with cancer, drugs that are in the hypertensive medications because they have been shipped in from India and China. And they actually have cancer-causing products in them.
So
they've had to be recalled.
So they have carcinogens. The medicine has carcinogens inside of it?
That is correct. And they've had to be taken. They've had to be called. And we don't know how long this was going on, but we do know I myself have patients that I've had to call and tell them to immediately stop their hypertensive medication. But for the insulin, like I was talking about, it should cost you between $40 to $100 at the very most. However, since the group purchasing organizations get a kickback, our insulin for a diabetic, one vial for a month, would cost them between $400 and $500. Now, let's say that it costs you $100 without the middleman. Then that means that $300 to $400 of this is going to the middlemen. And the only thing that they have done is put that on a particular insurance plan or a particular tier level, or in some instances, both.
Well, let me ask you this. If it's a person that's working and they don't have insurance, they're not on Medicare or Medicaid, their employer is not covering a prescription drug plan, what happens? Do they have to pay that, or is there some way that they can get relief?
Well, for insulin per se, you can actually, Carol, this is amazing to me as a physician, but there are some insulins that you can actually buy over the counter.
How?
And that's, I know, that's very few people know that, but they can actually be bought over the counter. Now, they are not the newer insulins. They are an older insulin that is slower in action, and they have to be given maybe multiple times. Instead of having one shot a day for a long-acting insulin, you might have a combination of a shorter-acting and a longer-acting and take them in morning and night. But they are much less expensive in buying them over the counter. But certainly, I want to urge your listeners not to do that on their own without their physician knowing and actually being able to help them with the correct dosages. Because as you and I, and I'm sure many of your listeners know, if not all of them, if you get too much insulin, that can kill you.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. Do you agree with that statistic that 1 in 5 Americans have difficulty, they can't afford to get their prescriptions filled, and so they're making these choices about whether or not to fill all of them?
Carol, I think it's higher. I really do. I see it almost every day in my practice. I have people come to me and say, Dr. Graves, I cannot afford my medications. I just had several just yesterday, medications that actually help with bladder control. And as many of us know, when individuals lose bladder control, they are more apt to get urinary tract infections. And so it's very important that we help with those. And I have patients, just yesterday, I had written a prescription for a particular medication, and that medication was, when they got to the pharmacy, rather than costing them the $15, which it should have cost, it was going to cost them $351.
You're
just
kidding.
Just for 1 month supply.
Why? What had changed for that patient that it would cost them that much?
Well, because of the kickbacks. Those individuals are, for one thing, they're in what we call the donut hole. That's another whole program, but they were unable to get their medication as they should have been able to get it. And so, therefore, they were charged the $351, which is, I mean, nobody can afford that. That's not the only medication these people are on.
So if what you're happens? On three, I mean, what
well,
happens? I couldn't afford that.
Well, who could? I mean, seriously. I mean, month after month after month, who can. And so what happened is that I had to put them on what was the allowable medication, which is a much more inferior medication. Why? Because it has a lot more side effects. It has a side effect to decrease heart rate. It has a just dries your eyes and your mouth out. And as people get older, and we're giving these medications to many times older patients, they already have a problem with dry eyes, dry mouth. And if they're a heart patient, certainly that is a contraindication. They can't take it. But it's what is the cheaper, because that is what the insurance company has allowed, because of, there again, there isn't as much of a kickback to that. They still get a percentage of that generic drug for a kickback. But, of course, they get more for any type of a brand name, as I'm sure you know.
Well, we need to take another break, and after the break, I want to continue this discussion.
Are you wondering what we can do about immigration? Then get your copy of my newly released book, Debating Immigration, the second edition, available at Amazon, Cambridge University Press, and all major booksellers.
I'm back with my guest, Dr. Carla Dean Graves, and we're talking about these prescription drug prices and the kickbacks. Carla Dean, you said earlier at the beginning of the show that in 1987, legislation was passed, pushed by Chuck Schumer, but the price increases didn't really start escalating, I believe, until 1992. And has it gotten worse in recent years?
Absolutely, because as years have gone on, year after year, actually, Carol, it was 1991 that was enacted. And ever since then, the middlemen who have demanded increasing their kickbacks. We have to remember, and I want your listeners to really listen to this very closely. This, every year, this racketeering that is, to me, a back alley racketeering that has occurred is a $200 billion a year profit for these middlemen.
And it's legal, and they are getting away with murder, right?
Absolutely, they are. And so we are facing a $200 billion industry. You talk about a David and Goliath scenario. We've got one right here where we, that is a few of physicians and citizens such as yourself and actually patients, all of us, we are fighting a $200 billion racketeering that is well organized and has been so now for several decades.
And President Trump knows about it, as well as Bernie Sanders, apparently.
Well, apparently they do. I know that we have a group of physicians that have come together because they are tired of seeing their patients say that they can no longer afford their medications, and then they end up in the hospital much more ill and have much more serious consequences. Let me just use a quick example here. An ophthalmologist. We have an ophthalmologist in our group, and that ophthalmologist sees people with glaucoma. Glaucoma is very serious, and if you don't treat that and keep your eye pressure down, you actually go blind. And we have, this particular ophthalmologist I'm thinking about, she has individuals in her practice that can't afford their glaucoma medications. because we're talking about most of the time an older populace, and though that populace live on a limited income. And those people are paying between $200 and $400 for a tiny bottle of medication that is controlling their glaucoma. However, if they can't afford it, then they begin to cut down on how many times they take it a day.
Right.
And they think, well, hey, I'll just maybe take it one time a day, and maybe my pressure won't go as high. But unfortunately, that doesn't work many times. And they either lose part of their vision or they do go blind. This is what we're facing. But we have to remember also, Carol, that there is a great deal of shortages now in these medications because the manufacturers here in America cannot afford to pay the kickbacks and make the medications, and therefore multiple medications are no longer available. They're not being made.
Well, in the time that's remaining, could you tell our listeners what they can do, and also any members of Congress that they should contact? We want to be involved. It affects all of us, regardless of our income level.
It affects particularly the poor. And what I was going to say...
Well, some people think, well, the poor get Medicaid and, you know, they get their prescriptions, but you're saying that's not true.
That is not always true, no. They sometimes are asked to either pay, or we are seeing that many times in clinics that do give Medicaid services, or even sometimes even charity organizations that are giving people who have no insurance, actually giving them care, they have shortages.
Oh, and yes. I see what you mean.
And those shortages are causing them not to get optimal care. And so, and President Trump is trying his best to do something. And I will say this. No, this isn't a political issue. This is a moral issue. And no matter what your politics are, if someone is trying to help lower your drug cost and your health care cost, we need to be very cognizant of this, and we need to be listening and participating in that. And our group actually wrote a white paper that President Trump is using and has used and continues to help lower health care costs, as well as medications, and that's all included in one there. And so we need to be aware of that. In fact, Carol, I wish I did have more time, because there are some women, because we don't have painkillers that have been having to give them in some of the free clinics, that have been having to do childbirth, giving them general anesthetics, and unfortunately, we have actually documented some deaths from this of young women.
Well, we were
go ahead. I'm so sorry.
No, I was going to say that I'll have you back on the show, and we can talk about that problem too, because there's so much about healthcare that needs to be reformed.
I want to tell you this, your listeners this, there is not one individual in America that is not affected by health care, not one. And so, yes, this is very important, Carol.
And could you, again, tell our listeners where they can go? Maybe they can get a copy of the white paper, but where can they go for more information? That's one of my questions. The other is, what can we do as responsible citizens?
As responsible citizens, we have to remember how our forefathers wrote the Constitution. It is a government for the people and by the people. Don't forget, by the people. Therefore, you should be calling your congressmen and your senators and say, if you're taking kickbacks, we are tired of you taking pharmaceutical and group purchasing organization kickbacks. We demand that you stop this, taking this money from these people and we want our medications and our supplies to be lowered in our prices so that we can afford them. Second of all, you can go to Physicians for Reform, physiciansforreform.org. And on there, you will see a four-minute video called NoMiddlemen.org. Listen to that four-minute video, and you will have a great deal of information. And on Physicians on Reform, you will see many articles which you can actually educate yourself with so that you can pass this on to your pharmacy, or you can pass this on to your physician. Talk with your physician about this. Many physicians, unfortunately, know that we have shortages and high prices, but they don't know why. Educate them. Educate your family. Shop around. But if you aren't aware of this, then you are going to continue to fall into this racketeering back alley scheme.
Carla Dean, thank you so much for being on the show today, and we will link to Physicians for Healthcare Reform. We will put that link up on our website.
Now, it's not healthcare reform. It's just Physicians for Reform.
Okay, Physicians for Reform. We will put that link up on the website and anything else that you would like for us to link to. And I look forward at some point in the future having you on again, or some of the other experts that you know that can help educate our listeners about what's taking place with these drug companies, insurers, and members of Congress that are supposed to be representing us, and they aren't actually doing so.
That is correct. And thank you so much for this opportunity. I really appreciate it. Thank you again.
All right. Well, folks, you've heard how bad it is with the healthcare situation in America, especially when it comes to the high cost of prescription drugs, just going to the hospital altogether, how these middlemen are causing us to pay more than most people can afford. We should not have racketeering in the healthcare industry, and we the people have the power to stop it. And so until next time, remember that we the people can be the people who change America, and we can certainly change the healthcare situation.